Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredible, vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. All right. Got a lot of energy today. I'm trying to manage it so that we don't overwhelm the listener.
Did you get out for your four mile run, or are you have all six, that kind of energy?
Did six this morning, but it's also a sunny day, and yeah, you know, all the I'm feeling all the summer things.
Fourth week in a row where we talk about summer. So summer has reached into our intro.
We are Midwesterners. We talk about safe things so that we don't offend anyone. Tell me about how we got Tropical House Beats onto ArtsFord MKE. That's what it says on the notes.
I didn't update that. So as folks know, this isn't all magic, right? We actually do script these podcast segments out, and
But we actually script this out. You can't tell.
And sometimes we forget. Or I forget to update the different segments, and in this week's episode, I've forgotten to update that segment. In fact, I just crossed it out on my copy.
Okay,
but I didn't tell you, I should have told you to cross out that segment and go right into the host story time, the joy of discovering new music.
See, on the pod, we like to break the fourth wall, right? And make it a meta analysis of what podcasting's like. So now you, the listener, are joining along with us. But now it's kind of like one of them Charlie Kaufman scripts where, like, wait, am I listening? Am I not part of it? I don't know what's going on. And we want you to be disoriented because it's paced like on a theme. We want to be volatile, uncertain, right? Complex, ambiguity. We're trying to bring it in all aspects.
We did, however, sneak Tropical House Beats into our new baby pod, Black Imagination, though.
Yes.
So which came out this last week. So that's very, very exciting. We did.
Congrats to Kenita and Antoine on the launch of their new Black Imagination podcast, which I'm super excited about. Enjoyed the listen. And hope you do too. And if you haven't checked it out, check it out. They've got some amazing guests. We just did our, we now have a monthly guest meeting, a podcast meeting with all the different hosts. And it's going to be at some point, we're all going to fight over guests, but since it's still early, it was just like, hey, who do you want to have on? It was just this exciting, I'm like, oh, that person's great. That person's awesome. Dot, dot, dot. So all is good now until maybe a month from now or 2 months from now when we're all like, how come I can't get that person? Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, we always I think this show has the upper hand, given that we can just pull the executive producer of our podcast network is the co-host of the show, so go eat it, right?
Well, I'd rather not play that card, but
it's like the ultimate trump card, right? It's like in the back pocket.
So yes, dear listener, you be assured that you're listening to the show that will always have first priority of guests. You are just be assured that that's what you're in the Imagine MK network. We always break the big guests first. That's our promise. That's our commitment to you. All right. End of story time, David. What do you got?
I've been thinking a lot about our guests today and thinking about how we discover new music, right? And our guest today, the Vuca Collective, is this new collective supergroup. Super group of Milwaukee artists and entrepreneurs and producers and creatives alike, and they released a new the first single off of their concept album a couple weeks ago, Lovely Child, and they will have a new single coming up in a week, Shine by Lex Allen. And so it got me thinking about how we discover new music, and the excitement, the joy of discovering new music. Do you have what's that experience like for you in sort of discovering something new and cool and something that other folks have maybe not have heard before, Mac?
I'm going to go back in my own history and where I grew up. We've talked about during story times, you know, our own backstories. And I grew up in South Suburban Chicago during the 80s and 90s, right? And so that's like set the tone there. That's flannel, right? That's if not hair bands of the 80s. Really quickly got into like Nirvana, Soundgarden. You know what I mean? Like that's, but me, I was about Britpop. I was about shiny hooks. So it's not just discovering new music, but it's like really embracing a genre that wasn't widely appreciated where I was growing up, and finding others, the few others who also liked Erasure, you know, or who also liked Jesus Jones or what, you know, like these like really, you know, so there's something not just discovering the new music and music that wasn't necessarily easy to get. There was something cool. And again, this is before the internet, AKA before the Common Era. And this notion of discovery, of looking for magazines like NME or Q that were always in the back of the Crocs and Brentanos, right? Like they were never in the front, like of the music magazine area. They were always wrapped in like cellophane. And so it was always this feel of like, being part of a clique or being part of something cool and special, and then like reading the reviews of those magazines, and then okay, wait, I gotta listen to Suede because Morrissey said Suede is his favorite band, and then listening to Suede's Metal Mickey, or you know, the Drowners, and partially like convincing myself this is good because Morrissey's like, it was fine, but there's also something about who told you was good. Or, you know,
wait, can we retro cancel Morrissey?
Yeah, I'm talking about Morrissey just at that time. It's tough for me to listen to Morrissey now, knowing what we know. But at the time I'm talking about, like, he loved James, the band James. Yeah. So like, I got into James. So I think for me, this level of like, when I think about new music, it was this notion of belonging to some place that I didn't, that wasn't readily accessible where I lived geographically or culturally, but I knew it was accepted somewhere and I liked being part of that. And then being with other people, like when we'd almost be like together and breaking open the cellophane, throwing in the CD and hearing for the first time and knowing, okay, we're gonna read the liner notes or try to learn the lyrics. And it's less about like discovering new music and being like amazed by it, but rather being almost like a devotee of something and wanting to support it, and finding ways to support it, which was for me Britpop in the 90s, late 80s, 90s, like XTC and bands like that who weren't exactly where I grew up mainstream. That's what I think of when you tell me about discovering new music. And to me, now it's weird because now it's like Spotify knows what I like, right? And finds me bands, which is fine. It's cool. And I find some really cool stuff, but it's different now. It's different for me anyway now. Maybe that's age too, like being the age of where you wanted to find new things and discover new things. Yeah. That's what I think of in terms of the joy of discovering new music. It's of that time.
By the way, I love that you name checked Brentanos.
Crocs and Brentanos. Is it just Brentanos?
We had
Brentanos. Oh, wow. We had Crocs and Brentanos. Yeah. I could have flexed Walden Books,
yeah, yeah. This like 25 years since I've heard these bookstore names.
These are before Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Like, what were the places we went to?
Well, Barnes & Noble was basically the Amazon to...
Yeah, exactly. Like, to Crocs. Right? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, funny now, I think now people hold Barnes & Noble as this sort of like, oh, that quaint bookstore on the corner, you know, Barnes & Noble. Like, wait a minute, that's like, that was America Online, man. That was a behemoth at the time. Squashed. Yeah, what's yours,
Dave? Yeah, I think for me, the most recent time, I think, was going through the artist submissions during the MKE Artist Relief Fund. I think our team knows that like, I think I bought so many albums on Bandcamp because, you know, we had artists who were applying for the fund show their work or prove their practice. And so I got to listen to a lot of Milwaukee bands, and the feeling that I got was really distinctly similar to the time when I was in college, when I was a DJ at WVKR.
Where were you a DJ?
At Vassar College.
Ah, yes.
Vassar College Radio. Thank you. And I was on the late night shift. I was, I think, 1 to 3. It's interesting because I actually went back recently to make a Spotify playlist of all the songs from that era for me. And the playlist is sort of spans this incredible like gamut of like indie rock to pop punk to like feedback shoegazy British bands. And I think the excitement in that time for me was just sort of hearing stuff that I really sort of that really spoke to me, right? That sort of moved me in a way that sort of crossed genres and crossed across styles. And I think the time of the MKE Artist Relief Fund reminded me of that time, because I would listen to these bands, like a band like Operations here in Milwaukee. Mm. It made me feel like, again, the coolest kid in Milwaukee, because, you know, they're a great band, and there's almost something secret about it, right? That like only you know this thing, and you want to tell everybody. You want to be the herald of these of these bands and these styles of music. And so I think that's what's the exciting thing for me. It's almost like finding the surprise toy in cereal, right? You sort of get surprised by it, and you want to be the one to tell everybody how cool it is.
Well, we want to be the one who tells people on this podcast about some really cool stuff, such as our guests, who are part of the new supergroup VUCA, Volatile, Uncertain, Complex, and Ambiguous. We're going to have Kelly Fitzsimmons and Lex Allen talk about the first two singles that have come out, as well as their own vision for how artists can thrive in Milwaukee. It's an incredibly inspiring, exciting conversation that happens after the drop. Keep you. May harm stumble out of your way. May the risks you take always pay. Welcome, Kelly. Welcome, Lex, to the pod.
Hello.
I like that you both waved, because you know right. That nobody can see it. I love that you're like, wait, I'm going to wave. For our sight-only listeners at home that only choose to watch the pod.
This will be Milwaukee or the world's first mimed podcast. It's going to be amazing.
We're trying to tackle all the different modes and mediums and modalities.
Totally.
Maybe a Rebus puzzle. We'll do a Rebus puzzle at some point. We'll just translate it to like toast minus tea. Oh, he said oast. All right. So, hey, welcome. You can tell by the energy. Dave and I have an energy pod, but this week we're a little bit more jacked because we've got some amazing Milwaukee music on the 260th nationally ranked artist arts pod in the country. So, I mean, it's like...
Just broke the charts in France.
Broke the charts. We're now 2,635 in France.
Yes.
Nice.
Joie de vivre. These are only phrases I know in French. I took Spanish, so it's romance language adjacent. All right. Okay, that being said, welcome. I want to start by acknowledging Kelly. Thanks again for starting up the MKE Artist Relief Fund. Yeah. It feels like 10 years ago. It was only 4 months ago. But... Yes, it does. I just want to, while you're here in real time, just wanted to celebrate you for helping us get that started on Friday the 13th, that March, I mean, 16 weeks ago. It started as a scheme to rock out in a warehouse in an undisclosed place in Bayview. It turned out to be $200,000 to 432 artists all throughout Milwaukee County.
Wow.
So I just wanted to thank you for like, believing in it and saying, let's start with a total shit show. Get Lex.
That it was.
Get Rex. You know, get the that.
Oh, Zed. So. Oh my gosh. Zed Penzo. She's amazing.
Yeah. So it was some, again, it began our journey to where we are now, as I don't know what we're doing, but
it was, I mean, just if I can build on this point just for a quick moment, it was interesting how like, I don't know if we've actually ever made this connection. That night when I think you, Kelly, had posted the article and I commented saying, hey, I think we're thinking about doing something like this. At the same time, Mac, I think, sent me through our intranet the same article saying we need to do something about this. And so it felt like there was like this sort of a synergy happening. And then of course, less than 24 hours later, we were at the undisclosed location doing the show, which is just so incredible. And mm-hmm. It was such a great kickoff to what we thought was going to be a $50,000 fund, but turned out to be $200,000 reaching, you know, over 400 people. So thank you both so much for moving quickly and promoting and everything else.
Kelly caught me at the right moment because I was ready to go back to sleep. I was like, all my shows are canceled.
So you go back into hibernation. I'm going back into
Kelly. I think Kelly felt it. She called. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, sleeping. I was
like, throwing the covers
phone over.
Throwing the covers
over my head. Over my head. Just like, what am I doing now? But it was good she called. She got me out of my bed. So that was good. That was good.
And a huge shout out to Josh Adams and Mindpool. You know, it came together so fast because of the friendships involved. You know, I was able to call Josh, I was able to call Lex, I was able to call Zed Kenzo, like, and just, you know, put together this crazy lineup of amazing artists and then have a world-class production team there ready with lasers.
Lasers.
Love the lasers.
I love lasers.
I was watching it that night and I was like, I'd watch this show every week. It just had a Milwaukee feel to it. It was very authentic. It just felt like I was in this cool clubhouse, like this treehouse of excellent, you know, amazing Milwaukee artists. And, you know, I went to band camp immediately and bought the Rex album and got some singles. So, I mean, I just thought it was so lovely and so great and such a better idea than the Beguini car wash for myself that I was going to try to raise money with. I'm so grateful that you saved Milwaukee from me putting on overalls and a white t-shirt and dousing myself.
We talked about it. That's actually what set Mac on his incredible fitness journey.
Yeah, I was like, I got to work out because if we're going to wash cars and help out some artists. But all right. Anyway, thanks so much for, again, your leadership there. And let's pivot to another exciting project that you've been leading. And I want to start with you, Kelly, and we'll actually get to Lex's exciting new single and his part of this. But we're talking about VUCA, Volatile, Uncertain, Complex, and Ambiguous. Correct? Did I capture all the
It's a military term or strategy term that came out of the idea of asymmetrical warfare and really defining this new time that we're in of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. And and this whole project started all I know is that I started using that name for all my music files. And when I say music files, it's really upgrading it a bunch because what it was me making beats into my voice memos while I was super sick in bed and making such, you know, memorable hits as Mama Beats 2 and Parking Lot. My kid actually found it at the doctor's office. She found my voice memos and she cranked the volume all the way up and started playing them. That was how my music came into the world. Me chasing her around, threatening to kill her in the doctor's office.
So you started, that's sort of where it started from, right? That notion of they became your files, but then you reached out to these artists and tell us more about that. You know, as well as talking about this, the first single, Lovely Child, that you collaborated with.
There's no way to tell a story without starting with heartbreak. All of this was born out of heartbreak. I was super sick. We would find out later that we had toxic mold in our house. Oh, wow. And that was uninhabitable. And I'm the right genetotype to be just taken out. I lost my ability to read. I lost my ability to basically move or function. Couldn't figure out how to butter toast. And this also happened on the heels of me losing my mother 6 months before and then the month before my sister. So I thought it was grief. I thought I was just taken out and I wasn't going to be able to ever function again. I took a sabbatical from Custom Reality Services, which is our VR production company. And we were just on the verge of like doing something massive. Our first VR project, which was called Across the Line, would premiere that January at Sundance. And I'm flat on my back, unable to work, unable to think. And so I did two things. I started talking into my phone because I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even watch videos or listen to podcasts. My brain was so discombobulated. And I started telling you just sense making, right? Like, how did I get here? And am I an entrepreneur if I can't work? And do I really want to be an entrepreneur? I'd been one for 25 years. The second piece was I started to make songs. And I've been a you know, a hidden artist most of my life, and mm-hmm. I've used startups as my canvas, but it was never the right medium for me. Mm-hmm. And so something about breaking so badly broke me open. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't that long after that Lex and I met through Backline. Well, actually we knew each other before Backline, but we became friends and close in Backline. And mm-hmm. in the process of working with these amazing artists, they inspired me to get over myself and to start creating.
Put it out.
Lex, do you have an app where you just, Lexism just spouted people at the right? Put it out. Get over yourself.
Let me write that down.
Just, yeah, exactly. We need the Lex app and just in certain moments.
You'll get 10%. Well, I got you.
I love it. Crazy. I just want back end stuff, man. I just want the back end points. I don't need any.
Got you. I'll have my manager hit you up.
Lex, tell us, how did you intersect with this? I mean, you're this amazing artist, right? And it just, how did, obviously personal relationship, but what is it about this project that compelled you?
It was just something really outside, like just having a whole album that's kind of in virtual reality. Mm. I think that was like one of the big things for me. And then also the song Shine is just very like personal. Mm-hmm. I feel like it reached me at the right time. It was like we met through Backline. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing about Kelly, what she didn't tell you, is like she didn't listen to any of our music until we were done with the Backline process. So she had like no clue what we were working on. She would just run out of the room if you started playing something. Literally just get up and, like, I don't want to hear it. Not until you're done. But it was like, I think through that, like honing in on being on a relationship base first, because she was our life coach. So she, every week we would get together and we worked with this book called The Artist's Way.
Yep.
And it just like kind of helps you, like when she was talking about the shadow artist, like it teaches you that your shadow artist self. Mm-hmm. And I was figuring out things that she was figuring out while we were all figuring out. So she's like, she was like, let me like create your music. And it was like, oh, like maybe you still like to act. It was just all these unlocking of beautiful things. Mm. And with this project, like I loved acting. So with she approached me with this song, it was like playing a part of this person.
Yes.
And I forgot about that side of me, but like through Backline, through our, you know, our meeting, her mentorship, it was like, you like to be on camera. You like to be something outside of music. So, you know, we kind of just like flipped a little bit, and I was actually able to play as I said that right. I was like, hold on. I was like, sorry. I don't know what anything is anymore. But it was like this story of like taking your last breath and like realizing that, you know, like you were whole and realizing it at the very last moment of your life. And like, for me, I get so emotional thinking about stuff like that. Cause it's just like the words, like, I just woke up and taking my last breath. I'm a portrait in stone, time is remembering. And like, you hear those words, you're just like, whoa, like I feel that. Like, I feel like that. Like when I die, like, how do I want to be remembered? Like, and so it was just really that whole emotional connectivity to it. And then like having Kelly be so passionate about it, and Barbara writing, and the DG on the end, like it was just came to this whole like climactic, like I can't listen to that song without crying. I'm not even gonna lie. Like I can't, cause it's just so personal. And it just, for me, it helped me see myself, and it helped me get over my fears of what is success to me? What does success look like? So all of this was found like in this one little nugget of Kellyisms, like, you know, in her mind child. And I mean, I hope at the end of it, like we, all these songs come together and like comes to this like huge stage play or something, because they just all have so much connectivity and so much beauty inside each song, but they all build on to the next one. And like, I love conceptual projects like that. Like it has like meaning behind it, has purpose, and it has a story to just like pull you through of all parts of your life, like being on top, being low, and then rising again. Just like, it's just so much in the project to even unload in like 20 minutes. But I'm excited to see more and more of it come to light, because the people that she's working with are so talented, and I feel like she literally pegged every person with each song that she read, like, this is the song I wrote for you. Like, this is a song I feel like you would like slay on, you know, like she's very thoughtful. And you know, like having just like the visual team, y'all ain't ready for this. It's like, y'all ain't hear me. You ain't hear me, but you're listening.
Yeah, it's almost like we only use 10% of my brain, right? Like, it's like, you're saying is like, you're getting 10% of this, but there's 90% of this. It's going to unfold for you later. It's going to unfold and be with
it. It's like, you can't give it to them all. You can't drop it on like, you know, you got to be like, little trinkets. Like, I'm using sound effects because you can't see my hand.
No, I know. Exactly. We might have to make this a visual pod. We might have to upload this.
Totally. You're missing
out. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot happening.
But it's, I mean, I love what Lex is saying because he's so dead on. I mean, this is such an information rich project. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things that was like channeled. And it's still, and I'm still channeling it. And it's much bigger than me in trying to like just do good work in terms of getting the story out. And it is about a character named Jackie who was born with an unbreakable heart. Mm. And so that sets all of the songs into motion. And Lex is my muse. Lex is my Jackie. Mm. And it's about the fantasy we all have of what if I had an unbreakable heart? Look at the damage I could do in the world. Like, look who I could be if I was fearless and I could just conquer and I didn't give a shit what anybody thought about me. And, you know, it sounds really good, but this whole project and the concept album is an exploration of what if we got our dream? Mm-hmm. Would it be a blessing or a curse? Mm.
So, you know, after my wife and I moved to Milwaukee about 10 years ago, we were walking around downtown one night after like going out to dinner. I can't remember where we'd gone, or I think we saw a show, I think. And she had asked me, you know, well, where do you see yourself in 10 years? Like, what do you want in your life? And I was like, you know, I don't know what job I'm going to be doing, but I think what I want is, I know what I want is, I want to have a job that allows me to help improve the city and have really great and interesting conversations with the most interesting people in our city. And we want to work with them to ensure that our city that Milwaukee is incredible and rich and diverse and all the things, right? And it's interesting to me that 10 years later I've made that happen, right? I have this job where I'm able to like talk to the city's most interesting folks. Lex Allen gets to stop me when I'm walking my dog because we're neighbors, and that's always a bit of a treat for me, right? And I think just reflecting on your point, Kelly, like what happens when you get it? And I, you know, it's been an interesting year in this position, and I think there have been like points where I'm like, I've sort of caught the tiger by the tail. Now what? And
right.
Also, why do I still feel the sense of maybe like unsettling or not being happy or whatever? Like, what's going on inside me that's sort of creating that? And I think that's been an interesting journey even for me. So just sort of like riffing off of the thrust of this concept album, I think is just super. I think it's probably salient for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm. I think we all go through it, right? It's like what happens when we get our dreams. You know, you chase them, but, you know, heaven forbid you actually manifest them because, you know, then all of a sudden, what am I supposed to do? I got it. I got my Grammy. I got my, you know, I got my dream job. You know, I've got the fame. And there's a shadow side to all of it, which is maybe we thought just maybe that when we attained that, everything was going to be okay. That we'd finally feel the self-confidence, that maybe that we'd have the self-love that we always wanted, or maybe we'd finally feel like we were whole and not fragmented when this event happens called the dream is realized. Mm-hmm. And having had my dreams realized multiple times over, you know, a 25-year career where I kept getting the brass ring, I kept winning the toaster, I got to a place where I was like, oh, this doesn't work. This doesn't make me whole. This doesn't make me happy. And part of the reason why I started the Vision program as a companion program to Backline was my real terror that here we have this wonderful program giving $20,000 grants to emerging artists to help them break nationally. And if we didn't give them the tools to go along with it, they would break as people. Mm. And that was my worst nightmare, was that I would give money to something that would hurt artists. And I didn't want to be involved in that. And so that was where Backline Vision came from, was really my heartfelt intention to be of service and help the artists that I'd meet and work with to have sustainable, joyful careers, opposed to graspy, unsatisfactory, never enough kind of careers.
It sounds like though in the relationship that you and Lex had, as it sounds as part of that Backline Vision experience, if I'm reading correctly, what Lex you're speaking to is this notion of just because Kelly was quote unquote the mentor doesn't mean that Kelly doesn't also have to participate in the learning journey as well. Right. Like if anything, it's more important, exactly. Right? Like that.
Exactly. I'm not a mentor.
Yeah. Right. It's a fellow sojourner, if anything, right. Who may have had different experiences or maybe different point of views, but it's almost like you have to do the work alongside the others. And just the example of doing the work, again, that's the vaguest of vague, but the notion of whatever that allowing to unfold needs to unfold, or having to name what might not have been named in real time. Your ability to do that is that that's what artists do, really, to give voice, to give shape, to give vision to that. And so me and David often talk about what I like to call parallel processes, right? This notion of if we want something amazing to change, there has to be micro examples in all of us that is changing to mirror that, or else it's not authentic or it's not sustainable. And so to me, I'm always looking at micro examples, even in a conversation that's one-on-one. Are there micro examples of the thing that we're trying to manifest ultimately? Or the worst case, right, is it the opposite? You know, is what we want to have happen, but it's undermined by our micro happenings between us. And so for what you shared really resonate with me, because that's something I pay exquisite attention to in every meeting I'm in, or everything. Are we really manifesting the change we want to have? And it can happen in this moment, right now. Like that's the beauty. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. It's just like it can happen right in this micro moment.
Very present.
For how old it is. So, and that's what I heard in your story. It was very powerful, and a powerful affirmation of that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'm struck by is the title is VUCA, right? Which speaks to, it's almost like this doom thing. Like it's volatile, it's uncertain. But what I'm holding is a sense, but what's true is how you show up in that. Right, which is being unbreakable in the face of that, and that everyone has perhaps the capacity to touch that, you know, to be that unbreakable, whatever that means, in the face of all that, and then we see what happens. Then that's
right.
That's the cool stuff. What happens? So, in another time, in Earth 5, right, or Earth 7, we would probably be this awesome tour, right, or there'd be some amazing like things happening in Milwaukee. I'm curious to see now, given this, how does Milwaukee get to engage with this? We started hinting towards this. Can you share with us how Milwaukee's going to engage with this fascinating, compelling piece? You both envision.
So I want Lex to play with this too, because we're still manifesting that. Yeah. You know, we're still dreaming it into existence.
Yeah.
One of the things that you can see though, is that we're doing this project with Audio Drops, and actually Lex pioneered this with Sarah Furick back at Christmas with a Christmas song. So maybe I'll let Lex speak to that, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what we're doing.
Yeah. So Audio Drops is a really amazing app where you can actually plant playlists. So if, say you're walking downtown and you have like the Audio Drops app, like through like geotagging and all that, like the option to listen to the track that we work on will pop up in that park. So you would experience a song in that location. But what we did with Kelly had a virtual butterfly. So when you like looked up VUCA, as you're listening to the song through Audio Drops, there's this like big, beautiful butterfly just like flying around your phone and like following you. But it just gives you a chance to engage your audience wherever they are. So have it placed at a grocery store, like this is your grocery store playlist, like tracking list or something like that. And you have a special playlist for your listener, whoever has the Audio Drop app. So it's like this new technology. I'm excited to play with it a bit more because we can't really put on show. So, so you just like, okay, well, everyone's at the grocery store. Well, everyone's at this little market here walking around with their face mask on, hopefully. Wear your mask. it's just like this really beautiful experience. So I'm excited to see where we take it with the VUCA project. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much audio drops.
Yeah, it's so well
and
described.
And it's based out of New York.
Yeah, it's based out of New York, and the founder's been working with us, and he's amazing. And so, what? So as Lex mentioned, it's geocaching. It's like Pokemon Go for music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you can walk around. Yeah, you can walk around the space, and so we can create. And what we're planning to do is to do physical drops of our music all around the city. Mm-hmm. And so that art, so that you can go there. And what Lex was explaining is about the butterfly. There's an augmented reality piece to the app, and it's actually all in browser. So you don't have to download anything to your phone. So it's really low, just a couple clicks, you're in, and you can experience this with a, you know, almost any phone that has a browser on it. And so we can start to play with reality a bit. So imagine, if you will, you're listening to Shine, and all of a sudden it triggers the lights on the hone to start playing in time with it. Mm. Or you're listening to Lovely Child, and you can move your phone around, and now you can see into windows of a building a bit of a music video, and now you're in the music video. So it's a whole nother type of engagement, and it allows us to do something which I'm super excited about, which is virtual busking. So that you can tip the artists and the nonprofits that we partner with, so that if you're inspired by this, you know, this walking tour of Milwaukee, this music video that you're now in, tip us. We have to figure out new ways to make revenue for artists today. We have to. Yeah. And technology is the key to that. And we're going to have to experiment. And so that's a big part of the VUCA project, is really looking at that intersection, that nexus between new technology and artistry. And how do we use it to benefit artists opposed to be empiric and extract from artists? And unfortunately, today we are in a long period of extraction to a place where now, if you can't tour, you can't actually make a living, and that is not okay.
So
that part.
So Kelly, you had mentioned that the VUCA terminology, right? It sort of came from the sort of 80s military strategy, and I think, from what I understand of it, the one of the key abilities to deal with asymmetrical warfare or VUCA situations is to be flexible and adaptable, right? You got to be able to move quickly to changing circumstances. And I think that's what's really interesting about this idea with drops, right? Is that, and also interestingly, just before this call, I was on a call with Seth and Sarah and Kevin.
Drops. Love Seth. Go Seth. So,
and they mentioned what they did for you. And so I think what you just pitched, or what you just described about the possibilities with Drop and with the singles coming out of the album, is so far and beyond like my just sort of like dummy brain in sort of thinking about like how we might be able to utilize it. I mean, the way we've been sort of thinking about utilizing it is like, you know, for the DNC, could we create an audio treasure hunt for civil rights monuments, and having someone like John Legend narrate something
John Ridley
or John Ridley, exactly. That's right.
So
super exciting. We're trying to figure out how to make it work, and we'd love to. We might want to take this conversation out of the podcast, but I think this is super interesting insofar as like how we operationalize this new technology in a virtual space, and also recognizing that, you know, we are for better or for worse in a VUCA situation in life right now.
Yeah. Well, and
yes.
this is VUCA. Hello. And the thing that's interesting, I mean, and I, yes, let's, we can totally take the conversation about audio drops and such offline. But I would say that it's just really the start. Most of the time when a new platform of technology shows up, we don't know what to do with it, right? We don't know how to use it. And so what you'll see is like the World Wide Web shows up, and so we put brochures on it. And you got brochureware, right? And that'll happen for like 20 years. And everybody's like, we got my brochure on, it's on the web. You can click on it. You're like, not interesting. What can you do with it that's never been done before? Uh-huh. And that's the question we have to ask these new technologies. And I'm asking it through the lens of, how do we make money for artists? How do artists have sustainable careers now that you've invented this amazing new technology? Mm-hmm. How can we use it to their benefit? Because VUCA, at this time that we're in, is also proving the importance of the arts. I mean, we are living for music and visual stimulation through our, whether it's our Netflix, you know, or the TV shows we're binge watching or the music we're listening to, it is getting us through. When Prometheus was thrown down from heaven by Zeus and tortured for all eternity, why? It wasn't just stealing fire from the gods. He stole the arts.
I didn't know that.
So it's a really interesting, it's a really interesting thing to think about. The things that give humanity comfort, fire and the arts. You look beyond that, it's kind of wonky. There's not a lot else. It kind of sucks without those. So, you know, we really need to figure out in our culture, how do we support the arts in a sustainable way? Because these are the most important people in our culture, because they're the ones who make it worth living.
I think what's really
compelling.
I think what's really. I was just sort of, as you're sharing this, I'm kind of in my mind thinking about what makes sort of this proposal unique. Is I think the difficulty, right, is, you know, Lexi Allen can't be everywhere at the same time, right? You can't be in 10 places performing yet, right? Yet.
But up until now.
But what? What could happen? But what could happen, though, is that Lex could be invoked in a certain place and time for someone in a way, right, that is so unique and so special and almost, I think, is an alternative or a parallel to a concert or parallel to something, right? And that's...
It's a new way of consumption, right? Yeah. It's the idea of full engagement.
Yeah.
And that the artist can perform... without, you know, forever and continue to be paid for the performance,
right?
Without them having to do it again,
right?
Scaling artistry in a way that we haven't done up until now, and I think that's really critical for the health and my and well-being of our artists. You could have 10 shows open on 10 different stages across the globe using virtual technology, and you can't do what we've done up until now, which is basically just boring holograms recreating a stage experience. You have to do something fundamentally new.
Or what Phil Collins did at Live Aid is he had to take the Concorde from London and then fly to New York and do two shows in the same day. Impossible. Which is basically
just really great for the artist.
Well, I think what's interesting, Kelly, though, about that point is that, like, I think what we saw at the beginning of the quarantine is we saw a lot of folks putting their programming on Zoom, right, or on virtual platforms, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, whatever it might be. But you can't just port a live performance onto Zoom or onto Facebook Live and expect it to just have the same thing, right? You have to figure out how to utilize the technology to best sort of present the content. And I think that's what's really interesting about about this about
quality.
Exactly.
It is. It's quality.
Quality, yeah.
And we've been live streaming. I mean, Lex and I have been involved with Rock the Stream. And for the last 12 weeks, we've, you know, live streamed lots of amazing Milwaukee artists and helped raise funds for them and for the charities that partner with them. And that the production value has been pretty low because it's people in their basement, you know, it's people in their house, and there's an authenticity and a beauty to that. But we are very practical creatures.
We
need to figure out how to up that game. And so Lex,
right,
you totally did it at the last show.
Yeah, that was amazing. That's one of my crystals, you know. No, but it is quality. That was like, I mean, now I've been presented with the opportunity to do, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
I work with M43 Records and we actually have a broadcasting studio. So I've been really lucky to have the ability to have a quality performances. Because that's what I didn't want to downgrade the experience of people, how people would get from my like live shows. I feel like it would be like, why am I making you pay this much money if I'm just like sitting in my room? But we had to pay. We all had to like, look, we had to do what we had to do. All of us artists do what we had to do. But it was just been really nice to have like a space to go to, and hopefully being able to open up, like, as you know, like if you got negative COVID, maybe able to come on and do do your live stream here. It's like, we'll stay in the other room. But you know, now that we have it down packed and, you know, have our ducks in a row, we can still hopefully be able to offer up like the space to other artists. But yeah, I just like did not want to skim on quality, like, cause you know, we put a lot of money into this stuff, and I'm like, look, like I'll get out and do something for, you know, if I feel very passionate about the charity, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But if you really need me to perform for my bedroom, I'm not going to, I won't do it. I was like, I'm not, I just can't. Well, like, and I'll do the voiceover work or something.
Well, you did such a killer job on the last Rock the Stream, the one before last, which was for Buka's launch. Mindpool partnered with us again. Wow. So the team that came together for the Total Shit Show came together
for
our debut. Yeah.
More lasers.
More lasers. More smoke machines.
More smoke machines. More
needs more smoke.
Well, Kelly and Lex, we're so grateful that you came on, and to show our gratitude, we're going to bestow our special powers. David and I have the ability to make our guest the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee. However, it only lasts for 2 minutes. We gotta make it happen. So I'll defer to each of you, or you could decide what order you want. But we're curious, what policy would you want to pass during your brief reign?
I'll go.
Okay.
Can I go first, Kelly?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Lex.
Okay. I would implement a fund for new graduates from high school that would give them an extra $5,000 toward their tuition.
Wow.
Or something for their first year. And they can use it for whatever, if they need to take their, take a trip for something. Before you want to go to college, here's $5,000but it has to be funded for some sort of arts learning, maybe here in the States or outside in different countries. So you have $5,000, pay for your plane ticket, towards your class or whatever that you want to take, and go do what you want to do and explore before you go to college, or use it for your college. But you have $5,000. I encourage the trip.
Lex, it's not a gap year, it's a gap summer, and get it going. Get into it. So can I use it to go to Coachella
Amsterdam? Body paint.
I'm going to Burning Man on the Lex Allen bill here. Lex Allen's going to send me to Burning Man.
Hey, come back with, help us.
Awesome. Thanks, Lex, for that first policy. I love it. How about you, Kelly?
I got two.
Okay.
So the first one.
We got to hurry.
The first one is housing. We need housing for artists.
Yeah.
We need to solve this in a big way. And the vision I have is a complex where it's completely rent subsidized, and it's a mix of artists from across our communities. So we've got dancers and musicians and culinary artists all in the same space. Plus we have a mess hall where people can come together, meet each other, experience the culinary arts, and it's supported by patrons. So you've got condos that are up on top so that, arts patrons, as we age, we get to live there and we get to help pay for this so that we can be surrounded by these amazing young artists and be inspired, so that it's multi-ages and it's multi-arts forms. So that's one idea. And Barry Mandel, if you're listening, I've got your legacy project.
I love it. You did it here. Is it happening here?
You heard it here.
Happened here.
And so then my second one is an arts card. So for artists in Milwaukee, and this could be through Imagine MKE, all the different restaurants, all the different coffee houses, movie theaters, organizations can subsidize and or offer free to artists of Milwaukee. So help the cool kids find you, and then you give them free food, free coffee, memberships to the art museum, so that we reduce the cost of being an artist in Milwaukee dramatically. Mm. So that we attract and retain our best and our brightest, because they love being here and we're constantly giving back.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, Kelly, I want both of those.
Something to look forward to when you come back from the trip. Ready to come back to something.
And the $5,000 that I didn't get.
And his body paint.
From
Wow.
Yeah, body paint.
Lex and Kelly, they were amazing reigns. Those were amazing reigns. And even though that it ends in this moment, David and I are committed to continuing the spirit of your policies, which to me sounded like, how do you get young people started and passionate, to solidify their relationship with the arts by seeing the world through that lens, and being sure to come back to Milwaukee and then perhaps being inspired to live in community and or to constantly keep the flow going, right, of artists circulating and being able to enjoy and make the city awesome. I think we're on board for that. Not sure if we've got the full faith and credit of our, I don't know if our credit's good to support an arts card. I don't know if we've ever started Imagine. We have a hard time just getting gummy bears shipped to the office monthly. So it's a bit of a jump. It's a bit of a jump, but David's passionate.
David gave me gummy bears for his birthday. I thank you so much. I literally ate the whole, most of the bag when you gave it to me.
Well, it was early in the quarantine though, right?
Oh, it was. It was really early in the quarantine.
Yeah,
I've been on my bike since, so we're good.
You got to settle the debate though. Is Haribo or the ones that I gave you for your birthday?
The ones you gave me for my birthday.
Yeah, right.
They were better than Haribo.
Haribo was like eating like a baseball glove. And those were just like, smooth. It was smooth. No, the ones that you had...
The ones I got were smooth. Haribo, they're on my rider, so.
All right, you're not on record. That's me.
Lex and I agree that Haribo gummy bears are underappreciated and delicious. However, the ones that we get delivered to our office are also very delicious as well.
They're probably the best gummy bears I've had today. Thank you.
Well, that's our pod on gummy bears. Thanks for tuning on our podcast on gummy bears. Thanks. Hey, Lex and Kelly, where can they find you after this podcast? How can they find you?
Sure. So our website is inthevuca.com. We're also on Instagram, TheVuca, and on Facebook as TheVuca. So those are the great places. And you feel free to reach out if you want to talk to me individually on LinkedIn. Just Kelly Fitzsimmons at LinkedIn.
And Lex?
Yep. And I can be found at theofficiallex.com or just by searching Lex Allen everywhere.
Yes, in stores everywhere.
In stores and audio drops everywhere. Augmented reality.
Drops.nyc. Drops.nyc is the audio drops website.
Let's make sure we also plug the new single that's coming out.
Yes.
This next week, right? Or this week.
Yes. Shine. It's
Shine, baby.
Oh gosh. It's such a good song. And we didn't really talk much about it, but it is, it's a heart song.
I think it'll speak for itself.
It will.
It's really good. I feel like a lot of people will relate to it. It just has heart.
It has a lot.
And it's what's needed right now.
Lex Allen, Kelly Fitzsimmons, thanks again for your gift and leadership and thanks for making Milwaukee phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank the both of you for having us today.
Thank you. May your heart be unbreakable, unshakable. May you
always see what you are. You are beautiful. I always say that was lovely, but that was really lovely. When you told me you booked those two, I was like, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. Yeah.
This is going to be fun. Yeah. And it was fun indeed. And I'm struck by, even though there was a lot of energy and a lot of laughter, the real profound point for me sticks is this notion of circumstance versus your values, right? When I think about circumstances, the notion of having what you want to have or not having, that's a circumstance thing. And that is fleeting. Right. Or that comes and goes. Right. And so to always live based on circumstance is a really difficult thing. Right. But what Kelly and Lex are talking about is like, but the other way is values, right? Is what's true or what's holding to what has integrity for you. And no matter what conditions you're in, is there a way that you can live with an unbreakable heart or you can live with deep integrity to your craft? And that's then whatever circumstances, what may you will live with. And to me, that's what I was reminded of what's the word for two things?
Duality.
It's a two thing. And it's killing me because it's like my senior English teacher, Mr. Baltz, be like, we do this all the time. How can you forget? But anyways, it'll come to me. But it's living with these two things, right? It's these two things, not duality, but it's another word.
Contradictory. Country.
You don't have to solve it. It's not a game show. We're not going to win $10,000 if we get it right. Let's just move on. But
can we find your English teacher's email to send him this podcast so he can yell at you?
That'd be a fun one. That'd be a fun one.
I think for me, just sort of in addition to your thought about the two things, it's
dichotomy.
There we go.
Thank you, God.
We did it. We don't have to find your English teacher's email
anymore. Thank you, Mr. Baltz. Get off my case.
Is also the essentiality of the arts and creativity, right? That helps us, that brings either the dichotomies that we live through together, or helps us through dark times and VUCA times, right? That creativity requires adaptability, which is, as we talked about, a key feature in how you live and work through VUCA times. And so the importance of creativity and artistry being such an important characteristic and quality now, I think is something that I really came away with, and I think is just very exciting that the collective, through these songs and through the way they're releasing these singles and the way they're promoting the work, how they're sort of continuing to push that forward, I think is just very, very exciting.
You know, it continues to push me forward.
Our listeners.
Thanks you for listening to another edition of the Imagine MKE Pod. Wherever you're at, share a positive review. Share it, rate 5 stars. Help people find us.
Even in France.
You can email us at pod@imaginemke.org and let us know what you think, or give us some ideas of what joyful abundance we should be talking about with regards to arts and culture in this city of Milwaukee.
We're on Twitter and Instagram @imagine_MKE or Facebook @imaginemke. And join the conversation on social media @#imaginaryfriends. Be sure you listen to Black Imagination, again, the newest addition to our podcast family that explores Black and Brown creativity in our city. You can get new episodes of that podcast every 2 weeks on Wednesday. Obviously, Arts Forward MKE on Thursday, and our show every Tuesday.
I made Lex Ellen laugh. You don't know how this is great. You know, that's like right now, there's a lot of check boxes on my bucket list that are happening.